Have you heard of the McComb Group? We're the PVF distributor contractors count on to keep projects moving. For decades, we've helped mechanical, industrial, and utility contractors tackle real-world challenges, providing unmatched expertise and one of the largest inventories of industry-leading products anywhere. And with our own logistics team on the road, your materials arrive when and where you need them. The McComb Group is here to keep you productive and moving forward. Call us today, online at McCombGroup.com. The McComb Group, built to say yes.
Sport
on the Claire Byrne Show
with Visa. Everything's a tap in with Visa, wherever the game takes you.
Well, it's time to preview the weekend sport, and I'm delighted to be joined by Off the Ball's Phil Egan. We were going to start with the World Cup, but we'll have to start now with this statement coming from the FAI, something that has been well flagged, that the Ireland-Israel fixture would be played in a neutral venue. But what I wasn't actually expecting was that it would be played behind closed doors. What does that mean, Phil?
That just means there'd be no fans at the game at all. It'd be very like what we experienced during COVID, where there was no atmosphere and it was all very eerie. But yeah, as you said, no real surprise that this is happening at a neutral venue. The talk had been Budapest, and obviously the fact now that you take fans away from it means in their eyes there'd be less around this game. But like, this game is coming up on the 4th of October. There's still so much time between now and then, and I would imagine like in the next few hours there's going to be more reaction to it, and it's a problem that's not going to go away. The players were obviously asked about it in the most recent international window. They wanted to see what the FAI were going to do with it. The FAI then obviously were saying, well, we're getting our guidance off UEFA. And Israel have played qualifiers in the last few years. Teams have played against them. So UEFA were never going to step in and say, do you know what, lads, you're right and we won't play this game. So
if they haven't done it before now, they
exactly
weren't going to do it.
I get people saying, well, we could be the ones to make the stand and maybe others would follow.
So do you think the other leg of this then, the Israel versus Ireland, which is on the 27th of September, will it also now go behind closed doors?
I would imagine so as well, yeah. So you'll have two games behind closed doors, neutral venues, and then that'll be UEFA, just their way of dealing with it. And
now, it won't stop people travelling to the venue and potentially protesting outside of the venue, but you'd imagine it's going to minimise it.
This is what it's all about, is trying to reduce it and minimise it. But as I said, this won't go away. It's not, this statement does, like, it obviously gives it, it's the next phase of this. We've obviously talked about, you know, what are the government going to do about it? What are the players going to do about it? What are the FAI going to do about it? This is just the next phase. There's going to be more developments, I'd imagine, between now and the 4th of October.
Okay, we'll be listening closely to Off the Ball, because as you say, this is not something that's just going to disappear with this statement.
Yeah,
absolutely
look,
not.
There's also, within their statement, they obviously have referenced that they were in consultation with the FA and Palestine, and how they are understanding in terms of the sporting merits of, you know, the penalties of what might happen if Ireland don't fulfil the fixtures. And that's something the FAI talked about earlier this year. They said back in February they were always going to fulfil these fixtures.
Okay, let's move on to the World Cup, which kicked off last night. Mexico, South Africa. I went to bed after the second goal. I don't think I missed much after that. I think
there
might have been another red card.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you make of it? Because there has been questions about these group stages, given the fact there's so many teams in, that some of these games would be a dud, you know, that they just wouldn't be the quality from both sides.
There is going to be a lot of games like this. It probably won't really get going in terms of the spectacular games we're looking for. Probably won't get going to the last 16, but there is still a few decent games to look at. Obviously, the fact that the opening ceremony, the first game, was at the Azteca Stadium, which is the most iconic venue in World Cup history. It's hosted two World Cup finals in 70 and 86. 70, Pele wins. 86, Maradona wins. Two of the best footballers of all time have played there and won World Cup. So it was actually, when I was watching, I was thinking, actually, I'd love to play more games in Mexico, to be honest.
There was a great energy in this stadium.
Absolutely. And Mexico, you know, it's not their best team, but actually the fact that they have home advantage, they've such a good record in that stadium because it's played in altitude and opposition teams can struggle there. So it was a comfortable win. It was a nice moment for Raul Jimenez, who scored the second goal. He was very unfortunate a few years ago where he fractured his skull playing a game for Wolves against Arsenal. And not only was it career threatening, but it was life threatening. So for him to come back and you would see that he wears the protective headband to score his first World Cup goal in what he knows as his last World Cup, you could see he was in tears. So that was a nice moment for Raul Jimenez. I didn't stay up till 3 a.m. or get up at 3 a.m. to watch South Korea and Czech Republic, which incidentally would have been our game if we had qualified. But
let's just move on. I don't want to talk about that. I had that moment yesterday when I watched and thought, really wish Ireland was in this World Cup. Yeah.
Well, South Korea anyway came back and won 2-1. So that's the first two games. Only another 102 to go.
This weekend will be football heaven for those who are following this World Cup. What do you watch? What takes your...
Be among the first to experience Ardent Community's newest luxury apartments in Galloway, Ohio. The Pinnacle and The Reserve at Parkside Village. Enjoy spacious modern floor plans designed for comfort, style, and convenience. Amenities built around your lifestyle. Beautiful finishes, thoughtful community spaces, and the perfect location. Move in now and live rent-free for 2 full months. Start fresh in a place that truly feels like home. The Pinnacle and The Reserve at Parkside Village. Call or visit ardentcommunities.com to schedule a tour or check out our rent specials.
Well, you've got Canada tonight as the second of the co-hosts going in. They're playing Bosnia-Herzegovina, who upset Italy to get there. They obviously beat Wales as well. I think a game I'm looking forward to, the USA play Paraguay in the early hours of the morning. You've got Brazil-Morocco tomorrow night at 11 o'clock. I think that's a decent watch as well. And then on Sunday, we have Netherlands-Japan at 9. I think that'd be a good one as well.
And a reasonable time, and you don't have to set the alarm for the middle of the night.
Exactly.
Which is really helpful. Okay, let's look at League of Ireland. Shelburne hosting Shamrock Rovers is off the Balls featured match. You're expecting goals in this one?
Yeah, well, they've played twice in the league this season. A 2-2 draw at Talca Park, a 3-2 win at Tallaght Stadium for Shamrock Rovers. It's our live game, and I would expect goals. Rovers are 6 points clear. They beat Bows and Pats before the international, the mid-season break, and that just kind of set the tone. And the last team to stop Shamrock Rovers winning the league was Shelburne. That was in 2024. The man that did it, Damien Duff. There's big news from Damien Duff today.
There is. He's got himself appointed as an assistant manager of Brentford.
Yes, and Brentford managed by Keith Andrews. So they're former Ireland teammates. They would have played when Giovanni Trapattoni was in charge of the Ireland team. And Keith Andrews did an unbelievable job with Brentford. Mm-hmm. And obviously, he is still very good friends with Damien Duff. Damien Duff has been on Virgin Media's coverage a few times, and you know he's been asked about it. Do you want to get back into the game? And this is it now. He's got his assistant job at Brentford, and I said it's a Premier League job, and it's a great opportunity for him. And I'm sure Keith will be happy to have him.
Let's move towards the GAA. Right, obviously the most important match this weekend is Donegal Cork, which is not being televised.
No, you'll have to go to it.
I can't. I'm working all weekend. I'm disgusted.
Yeah,
it's not the same following it on X.
It is going to be a really big game. I suppose the thing about the 2A games, obviously, is you've got another life if you lose this game. But Donegal won't be thinking like that. Look, it's three weeks since the infamous Donegal-Kerry game. Not much happened in that, did it?
No, it was very quiet.
Look, the fallout from that, obviously, with the melee at the end of the first half and the red card and Jim McGuinness was there was talk that Jim McGuinness might be in trouble with for disciplinary reasons, but it's all gone now. Jim McGuinness will be on the sideline tomorrow, and what we can't take away from that day was Donegal beat Kerry for a third time this season, and that's, you're beating the All-Ireland champions three times. Who knows, they might meet again later this summer. Kerry obviously have their own business to take care of. I would expect Donegal to beat Cork. It's the worst draw Cork could have got, a trip to Donegal. But if they don't come through that, they still do have a lifeline. It's the 2B games where that's last chance saloon. So Kerry are one of those teams where
they're taking on Kildare.
And it's a team, obviously, or it's a county that Jack O'Connor managed for a couple of years. Again, I would imagine that Kerry will come through that. They have a few players back from the last game against Donegal, which they lost by 10 points. Brian O'Buglig is back. Joe O'Connor is back in as well. So, yeah, look, it's tight confines in Newbridge. It's a tighter pitch. There's going to be a big Kildare following there tomorrow because it's the first of two, or it's the second of two games between Kildare and Kerry who meet in round two of the Ladies Football Championship as well. Kildare shocked Mayo and Newbridge in 2018, famously Newbridge or nowhere, that game. But this would be an unbelievable shock if they were to down the All-Ireland champions.
And very briefly, Dublin against Cavan, are the risks for Dublin again?
Oh, big time. Big time. Now, Brennan is back. Ger Brennan is back on the sideline. So that'll obviously be a big help. But this, Dublin are one of those teams that are its last chance saloon. Pádraig Ó Cuaig Byrne's been named on the bench. They've changed goalkeeper. Evan Comerford was named to start in the game against Louth, but they made a change at the end. They brought in Hugh O'Sullivan, but Evan Comerford was named to start. But Ó Cuaig Byrne was a big loss when he went off injured against Westmeath in the Leinster final. They never seemed to really recover from that. But I think I would still just about edge it for Dublin. But I wouldn't be surprised if Cavan upset the odds.
It's definitely one to watch. And I know we didn't get a chance to talk about the real World Cup for you, which is the darts.
Ah, yeah.
Which is starting. Unfortunately, we have run out of time.
They won last night against Singapore. They played Gibraltar tonight.
That's Willie O'Connor and Nicky Mansell.
Mickey Mansell and Willie O'Connor, yeah.
Okay, so one to watch if you're not into the footy or the GAA this weekend. Phil, thanks for that. No, great weekend sports and lots of it being covered on Off the Ball.
Sport on the Claire Byrne Show with Visa. Everything's a tap-in with Visa, wherever the game takes you.